friendly listening to Irish Radio Network, USA. I want to welcome a friend. He also happens to be the comptroller of the state of New York. Tom DiNapoli, you're very welcome.
Adrian, thank you. It's great to be back with you once again.
You know, Anya here reminded us that the last time you were on this program was the last program before St. Patrick's Day. And on 1st of all, you were preparing, as you always have, you know, to participate in the parade. But there was something that that you had brought to our attention in the midst of a lot of good and positive news. You were the first person on this program, anyway, who mentioned that the pandemic, which was coming our way, could indeed, you know, change the rosy picture that we had at that time. And it was, you know, it was amazing. You know, even on that Saturday, we didn't know that there wasn't going to be a parade, but we spoke, and we were speaking about your extreme generosity in following through on a commitment that you had made with respect to the New York State pension funds and the $7 million dollar investment in in Northern Ireland.
Right.
Take us back, if you will, Comptroller Tom DiNapoli, to that time and to the state of New York. Fiscally.
Yeah. It seems like a lifetime ago now, doesn't it, Adrian?
Yes.
Mid-March to where we are now in October, what a difference. What an incredible difference. You know, I don't think anybody was prepared to experience what we've been experiencing, both from a public health perspective with COVID-19, the economic damage, and then by extension what that has meant for government finance, be it for New York City, for New York State, for all of our localities across our great state. Let me just say, by the way, on that $7 million for investment in Northern Ireland, that was the last piece of our earlier commitment that we made. But you know, since then, Adrian, quick update: I signed off on another $30 million to be deployed again, targeted for the North. A lot of folks invest in Ireland, but we do. But we also have a special carve out targeted to the North. Why? We want to be part of continuing to build the prosperity, making sure that the peace is realized and that everyone benefits from it. So I'm very proud of the special connection we have with the North. In fact, earlier, about a week and a half ago, I participated virtually in the Belfast Homecoming event. So, you know, our commitment to the North is there. You know, in terms of New York State, though, we were hit the first and the hardest. And the first concern, obviously, is all the lives that were lost and all the people that got sick, and I certainly hope most of your listeners, I wish all of them weren't affected by it. I'm sure some of them were. We've come a long way. The numbers are a lot better in terms of the health situation, although, you know, we're heading to the fall and the winter. People are concerned about a reinfection. Flu season, I'm getting my flu shot in the next few days. I hope everybody is going to do that as well. But, you know, the economy being on hold and slowly reopening, besides the human impact in terms of job loss, tremendous drain on government resources. Sales tax revenue down 27% statewide in the second quarter, and still over the summer down a little over 8% in July, August a little below 8%. I don't have the final September numbers yet. Certainly personal income tax as well, we know, is going to be affected. Some people may not be able to pay their property tax. It's not an issue for the state. We don't have a state property tax, but for New York City and for local governments, that's an issue. So There's been a big budget gap at the state level. It's about $14.5 billion for the coming year. The governor has slowed payments and done some additional borrowing to manage cash flow. The bottom line for the state and the city, though, Adrian, is that we do need more help from Washington. And so far there has not been a resolution. The talks have been back on. But without more stimulus and relief money from Washington, New York State, New York City, and many of our localities, and not just in New York, I must say, you know, other states as well, really going to be faced with some very bleak alternatives if we cannot get more help from Washington.
Well said, and obviously the political football that we find ourselves in, and I know that you know, we wish the president a speedy recovery, and we might want to leave it at that politically, other than to say, Tom DiNapoli, that it's hard to separate politics from the reality that we can't remember a time, perhaps you do, when there seemed to be the stonewalling and everything, you know, affected New York State, the whole of New York State, as it is right now.
Yeah. I guess in some ways, you know, in terms of the political dynamic, remember back in the 70s when New York City was on the verge of bankruptcy, and at that time the Ford administration kind of turned the other way in terms of federal help and guarantees. It ultimately got worked out, but you remember that famous Daily News headline, you know, Ford to New York, you know, dropped dead. And in some ways, you know, we're feeling a little bit of that as well. Although I do have to say, our New York State congressional delegation, Republican and Democrat, it's not really been partisan.
Right.
They are all pushing for this additional help. And it really, right now, Adrian, it's not a blue state and a red state issue. I mean, all the states have been hit by this in varying degrees. And now that we see, you know, in the Midwest and some of the southern states, their numbers are becoming very high, higher than ours in New York. Not that we don't still have some issues here, but it's having the same impact. Some of the states that opened up their economy perhaps too fast, they're having to go backwards now and close things down. So, you know, for us in New York, the ultimate solution to all of this is we have to get the economy moving again. People have to be working again, spending money, taxes being paid. I mean, that's the ultimate.
Right.
To me, you know, that's probably not going to happen in the way that we'd like until we get a vaccine, right? So until there's a vaccine widely distributed, people have a sense of their own, you know, health security, we're still going to be in this strange dynamic. So, you know, certainly in the short run, from a New York perspective, we need to continue to reopen slowly, carefully, smartly. But, you know, I do hope we can continue to reopen because people need to be working. You know, our small businesses need to be back functioning.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, that gridlock, I hope it will be broken. Look, President Trump, like you, I wish him well. I know he has some tension with New York, but he's a New Yorker. You know, he knows whether it's New York City,
right.
New York State, the MTA, the transit system. You know, these are all essential to, first of all, making sure we're responding to the public health emergency, but also that we get our economy going again. And my hope is that he will be able to push McConnell to make a deal. Mnuchin, you know, has been talking with Pelosi.
Yeah.
We hope that that will resolve in a positive way. It may not be as much as I think we should get, but we need something. The worst alternative would be no more help from Washington. That would really leave us with very limited and very painful options.
And this can't wait until after the election. The money is needed now.
Well, it's needed now, but you know what? I'll be honest with you. I thought we were going to get it in June. I thought we were going to get it over the summer. I thought we were going to get it in September. You know, I can't believe we're in the fall and it's still not resolved. You know, again, it's been somewhat painful, but the governor and the division of budget, they have been managing the cash flow. I mean, the state is certainly solvent, but, you know, the news from the city, you know, Mayor de Blasio
right.
has threatened there could be 22,000, you know, layoffs. So the sooner the better. I don't have it. Sometimes people say, what's the absolute final date? There's no date, you know, but we need it yesterday. It'd be nice if we had it today. As long as we get it tomorrow, that will certainly make it a lot easier than it's feeling right now.
You know, the focus, at least from media and for a lot of people who are seeing it firsthand, like we are, is that, you know, New York State, seems to be barely hanging on, not so the city of New York. And on Wednesday, with your bombshell report, you know, that the struggling industry, well, one of them anyway, where we have a lot of Irish connection, the bars and restaurants in New York City, you'd say possibly, you know, half of them can't wait any longer. They unless there's some kind of massive stimulus coming out of Washington, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, it's a real concern. Estimates are anywhere from a third to a half, as you just mentioned, will be permanently closed. And you know, if that happens, I mean, you're talking about upwards of 12,000 establishments. You know, you're talking about you know, over 150,000 jobs. Many of those jobs are held by immigrants, you know, from Ireland and so many other countries.
Yeah.
We can't afford to have that happen. Before the pandemic hit, looking at 2019 numbers, the restaurant industry in New York City provided about 318,000 jobs, almost $11 billion in wages, $27 billion in taxable sales. So when, you know, I talked earlier about, you know, taxes being down, revenue being down, the restaurant and hospitality industry is a key part of why New York City's budget has been suffering. And if we want tourism to come back, right, when people feel comfortable traveling, we need those restaurants. That's one of the big draws. It's not just the museums and Broadway. Those are very important draws. But it's, what else do you do when you go to a show? You go to a restaurant. And especially in you know, in terms of neighborhood identity, you know, so many of these establishments, when we announced the report, we did it in the Corona Jackson Heights area.
Yes.
You know, and we had several of the small business owners there that own the restaurants. I mean, their restaurants are gathering places. They are a key part of the community. And not only the owners, but people who work in the restaurants, as I said, a high percentage of immigrants, more so than most other job sectors in New York City. For many, it's the first step on that ladder to the American dream. We'll be closing that off if we allow this industry to have half of it die off. So part of it is more support in terms of loans, you know, and financial help. The city and the state have some limitation there, but we've done some things. Hopefully we can do more. But you touched on it. The federal government, what is in the latest version of the House bill as far as relief and stimulus is $120 billion for a restaurant stabilization fund. That kind of significant federal help would really go a long way. And the other piece, Adrian, is for the state and the city. In terms of regulation, in terms of oversight, be sensible, you know, be flexible. One of the things we hear, too, some of the businesses feel that, especially in this environment, some of that oversight has been a bit punitive and onerous. Sometimes, you know, when the regulations change, the information isn't shared in a timely fashion. So common sense, communication becomes key. New York City opened indoor dining just recently at 25%. Let's hope the numbers stay low, so that in terms of the COVID-19, so that could go up to 50%, because 25% isn't going to cut it. Even 50% may not cut it for many. We've got to start moving those percentages up. That's why people, in the meantime, wear your mask, wash your hands, do the social distancing, because as long as the numbers stay good, then we could see the reopening of that restaurant industry and keep it as such an important part of our city economy and really of our lives. I mean, we all have a favorite neighborhood restaurant, right, in the city.
Right.
We don't want to lose that.
Tom DiNapoli, I just want to ask you, though, about the general state of fiscal New York State since March through now. I know that that the state has been under tremendous financial pressure in stretching the dollar. Do you see that there is a possibility, if not a probability, that can bounce back, or do you see this as a very slow recovery?
You know, I think it'll be slow until we get that vaccine, and then the question is how quickly will it bounce back from there. But I absolutely believe, Adrian, that it's not a one-year problem, right? So our budget challenge this year of that $14.5 billion gap, we have out-year gaps that have been growing as well. And you know, so I think even under the best of scenarios, you're talking about, you know, 2 to 3 years before we get back to the kind of revenue stabilization that, we would like to see. You know, there's a lot of uncertainty in that. Look, could it be better than that? Could the rebound be quicker? Absolutely. But where I see it right now, I think it's going to be a slow one. I think it will be steady. I think it will rebound. A lot of folks have counted New York City and New York State out before and never count New Yorkers out. So we're going to get to better days. But I think certainly the next year or two, we're going to have to make some very tough choices on spending. We have to be careful about our borrowing. And you know, we have to be mindful of tax burden as well. You know, some folks say the first thing is, you know, raise more taxes. Well, a lot of people are hurting. You know, sometimes that's a tough discussion to have when the economy is as fragile as it is. What I do know, though, is that we need more help from Washington. The strong stock market is good in some ways, right? I'm happy for the pension fund, but that's not describing what's happening on Main Street. There are still many people that are hurting, small business people, people that have been laid off or working reduced hours. That disconnect between how the big corporations are doing and how most Americans are doing, that disconnect is something we have to deal with. And, you know, obviously I'm hoping for some changes in Washington that can redirect some of our priorities. I think that'll be helpful. But until we get that vaccine, it's going to be a very slow process. God forbid, we don't want another reinfection. And after we get to the point of the vaccine, I still think it's going to take a couple of years for us to get back to where we would like to be.
Comptroller, Tom DiNapoli, again, many thanks for being with us this morning. And again, not one to ever put the Gaelic word as bloth on what it is. You're a straight shooter, and you say how things are and how you see them. And on a final question, supposing at this stage of the game, you know, we're talking about we need a bridging stimulus at the moment. When we say, you know, something is better than nothing, realistically, can that happen now before, you know, whatever happens in January? You know, can that actually just one more good blast, one more stimulus?
I think it can. Look, it needs to. I would hope that it would, and I think it can. You know, everything's fast moving, but in the reports that I was reading, Pelosi trimmed back what she had asked for as far as aid to states and localities, cut in half actually, but still would be like $500 billion. Mnuchin, on behalf of the White House, actually put on the table, I think it was $250 billion for states and localities. I think that's too low, but that's a lot better than the zero that the Senate was talking. So, Adrian, I think things are starting to move, not quickly, but I think there is movement. There is talk about helping states and localities like New York City directly. If there's movement and folks understand that there's a bigger issue than the politics of the moment, yes, I think we can see a boost, a bridge. We may need even more after January, but if we can get some more help in the fall, a bipartisan agreement, that would make a big, big difference for New York. It would make a big difference for all of our states and localities that are struggling. So I want to be the optimist. I'm gonna say common sense and goodwill will prevail, I'm gonna end it on a positive note. I think we will get something before, hopefully before Election Day, certainly before the end of the year.
Tom DiNapoli, again, my friend, thank you so much.
Thank you, Adrian. Stay well.
Okay, God bless.